Good morning. Good morning. Ah, there you go. We're all here together. As we do at the start of every month, we are now going to recognize our birthdays and our anniversaries for the month of May. And our birthdays for the month of May, Brandon Lauder, May the 2nd. Laney Snyder, May the 5th. Pastor Ed Lauder, May the 9th. Leonard Harville, May the 12th. Oh, I'm about 3 days older than baseball, and I feel pretty good about it. And Janice Coley, May the 15th. She's the same age I am. Donna Harville, who's my wife, and she's a year younger than I am. Angie Barbie, I'm not going to say how old she is. And then Hannah Triplett. She's just a youngin', so it's okay to talk about her age. And then Jewel Hatley, May the 31st. Are there any that I may have overlooked anywhere? All right, if you'll give me a key, please. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And we don't have any anniversaries here for the month of May. Unless there's somebody that I've overlooked. Okie dokie. All right, Pastor.
Well, right after I got off the ark, I...
I never told him how old you
are. I dare say I'm the oldest man in the building at this time. When Tony's here, he outranks me a couple of years, but since he's not here, I'm the oldest man in the building. But, you know, I'm thankful for every year that the Lord has given me.
Amen, brother.
I think it's interesting. I think about the youth group that we had at West Alamo growing up. We had a really fantastic youth group. An interesting thing is there's about 20-some of them that are a year or more younger than me that have already passed away. Now, I can understand those in the youth group older than me, but the younger ones, it's just astounding how many of those have passed away. But God's been good. We're so glad that you're here. Those of you that are visiting, we welcome you. We pray that God would bless you as we worship the Lord together, as we serve Jesus. It's a good day to be in the Lord's house. And I happen to think, if some of you leave for children's church, come back in time for the baptism so that the children can be able to see and then baptized. I think they'll enjoy that and learn and be blessed by it. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for each person that's gathered here in your house today. We thank you those that might be listening in the parking lot on their radios. We thank you for those that will listen later on the website. But Lord, most of all, we're grateful for your presence. For without you, it's just another meeting. But Lord, when you show up, you convict, you encourage, you teach, you bless. And so, Father, as we join with you today to worship and praise, to honor our King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus, we want you to know that you're welcome. Say what you want to say. Speak what you want to speak. Draw us near to you, Lord. And Lord, those that ordinarily would be here that are not here because of physical frailty, I pray that today might be a moment when the Holy Spirit would be with them in their nursing home or their hospital room or in their homes. And they'd feel the sweet presence of Jesus encourage them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate it. And we are indeed glad to see you here today. We welcome all the visitors that are here with us today. And we hope you can come back and be with us again. We truly know that you're our special guest today. As we do, again, every Sunday, we try our very best to sing a song, a hymn, We don't want to forget the hymns of the church, and we just will not on this one. This was a great song, a happy song. Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing, our great Redeemer lives. Let's all stand and sing together, Oh, for a thousand tongues. Standing for prayer, please.
Dear God, well, we thank you again for this opportunity to have the highest day of worship and thank you for each one that are here. Once not, please, everyone, Lord, prepare the messenger, prepare the message, prepare the ears that hear. In Jesus' name, we pray.
You may be seated. Thank you. Let's all stand for the doxology, please.
Praise God from
again, it's good to see you all this morning. I want to take just a few moments now and cover a few announcements for you, if I may, and also to bring you up to date on a few things as well. The first thing today, as we've got a busy day today, as we always do, but today at 11, we'll have church council meeting right after the worship today, right after the baptism, we will have the church council. But we also, today, we'll have a baptismal service. And in Hartsel, Our brother in Christ is going to be baptized today, and we're looking forward to that. And we welcome him certainly as a member of Barber's Grove, but more than that, as a Christian, as a brother. It's just wonderful news, great news. So stay for the baptismal service, if you would, please. And then as we go forward, we want to remember Wednesday, the Wings, ladies, you have a meeting Wednesday. Rosina, she's under the weather a little bit this morning, but she asked me to be sure to remind you that the meeting will be at 10. The Wings meeting would be Wednesday at 10. Also, we will have a Bible study at 6:30, and then you deacons, don't forget, you will have a meeting at 7:30 Wednesday night as well. So that will cover Wednesday night, and we thank Pastor Ed for always there to be able to do that for us too. And as we go forward, we want to remember that we have a church call conference for May the 18th, and that will be to approve members of the nominating committee, new members of the nominating committee, so be here for that. Our golden agers, which I are one. Wonderful to be able to say that. I'll tell you that. But anyway, you golden agers, we're going to have a meeting on Tuesday for lunch, May the 13th, and we're going to go to the meet at 200 North. Right, Brenda? 200 North. And that will be in Locust. So we'll have a meal together there. And Brenda's paying. So, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Brenda. But anyway, you all come and be with us. If you're a golden ager, or if you're not, you maybe just want to be one, come on, be with us. We'd love to have you anyway. Children Home Food Drive. And you all been doing a wonderful job with that. Let's keep these Children Home Food Drive. We'll be going through May the 14th. Is that right, Brenda? May the 11th. So May the 11th. So Kathy, did you want to speak to that? Or Brent, or maybe Tonda?
Well, yeah.
The home drive food.
Okay. But we didn't actually have the material items that I needed to take, which is fine. The gift cards, the offerings, anytime is
okay.
So valuable.
Okay.
To the group homes. They are full and we need more space for the
match. Yeah. Yes, let's do that. I can't think of a better way to support any people, a group to ever support than the Baptist Children's Home. So you all just, and I know you always do, and we thank you for that. Thank you, Tonda. Vacation Bible School, you see, it's in your bulletin. It's already lined up. Great job, Vacation Bible School leaders. We're so happy to say that and see it in the bulletin. Graduate Sunday will be June the 1st. And so by the way, if you know someone that's graduating that we don't know about, you need to be sure we share it so we can get with Miss Kathy, so we'll be sure to get that in the bulletin, okay? Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit about the bulletins that you have this morning. Those of you that are here and your visitors with us this morning, and maybe you want to fill out this little column right here in the back. As you can see, it's got a perforated edge to it. You can do that, and it's just talking a little bit about you. And we'd like to follow up with you at some point in time. And if you don't have a church home, then we'd like for you to come back and be with us. If you got a church home, we'll pray for that. So we'll pray for your church home. And I know we don't want to take you away from your church, but we just want a little bit about you. Also, the prayer request is on you as well. If you know someone that we need to be praying for, do that. Just tear it off and drop it over here in this offering plate, and we can follow it up from that. So did I leave any announcements off anywhere? Oh, yes. Yeah, ma'am.
I just wanted to touch on Bible school. We do still need some volunteers. The sign-up sheets are on the board back here. So if you'd like to help, just sign up.
Okay. There's always room for people to work Bible school. And I got to tell you something. One of some of the biggest blessings that I've ever had in all of my 57 years of working here has been in Bible school. Some of the biggest blessings, yes.
And when you sign up, you put your t-shirts on there so
you
can get all
volunteers' t-shirts. Okay, Hannah. Hannah wants you to make sure when you sign up, give us your size. So your t-shirt size. That way we can all get t-shirts for everybody. Okay. All right. Any other? Oh, that's right. Thank you. And I asked you to do that special here. I almost forgot. You see, the celebration of life for Scott Davis will be next Saturday the 10th. And so those of you try to make to go with that. I know Miss Betty would appreciate all of us that we can do that. So is Winter as well. All right. Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it. Thank you, Kathy. Any others? All right. Let's go to our prayer request, please, if we're good this time. The prayer request. I have a few already and I believe Justin has had some surgery. And he's doing better, though, right? Some nose. Some of his nose. Justin.
Yeah, he got Roto-Rooter. He's doing good.
Roto-Rooter.
Yeah, he told me this first time he's been able to breathe.
So. Okay, I got it. Yeah. All right, good. Glad to hear he's doing better. Brother Jim goes Friday for consultation for surgery, yes. And he's got surgery in your future, and God's in control, brother. No doubt about it. Danny Honeycutt has heart surgery scheduled, and we need to keep Danny Honeycutt and that family in our prayers. We had some unspoken requests that we know about. God knows about their needs, and he absolutely will fulfill them. And Tonda, yes.
I have an addition, a good friend of mine, Martha Moorhead.
Martha Moorhead. Okay, Martha Moorhead. All right. And Kenny Linker has some surgery scheduled as well, so let's remember Brother Kenny. All right, any others? I'm sorry now?
Sam.
Ben and Haley, Stacy's daughter.
Oh.
Sam.
Okay. All right. Are there others? Then let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to you today, Lord, we come to you, Lord, knowing, Lord, that you're all-powerful, knowing, Lord, that you're an awesome God, knowing, Lord, that you're capable of doing any miracles. We also know, Lord, that we come to you, Lord, to praise your name. And before I ask you for anything, Lord, anything at all, I want to say thank you. Thank you for the blessings you've already given us. Thank you for these people that are here today, that they have health to be here. And Lord, that they prioritize their time to be here today. And we thank you, Lord, for their presence. But then, Lord, there are those, Lord, that are hurting. Those, Lord, that do need a miracle, that do need healing. Lord, we want to bring those names to you today, Lord. We believe that you would like us to be specific when we ask, Lord. And so we're going to ask your special blessing upon Justin Keplinger, Lord, as he's had surgery. We pray, Brother Jim, Lord, as he has surgery in the future, we lift him up to you, Lord. Danny Honeycutt with heart surgery, Lord, we pray for him and the family. We had several unspoken requests this morning. Lord, we know, Lord, that you know exactly what they need. And Lord, we'd ask that you would fit a blessing to that heart, to that need. And we also know, Lord, if you fit that blessing, it'll be a perfect one. And we pray for that. Pray for Brother Kenny, Lord, as he has surgery in his future. And then Martha Moorhead as well, Lord, we pray for her. And then, Lord, pray for Sam. We lift her up to you and we ask, Lord, that you would be near and dear to her at this time of need. And then, Lord, we pray for Pastor Ed as he will be coming forward shortly. And Lord, we pray for him as the message today. We pray, Lord, that these words that he says to us today, I know will be from you. And I know they'll be from your word. And help us, Lord, to apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, we thank you for a time of baptism. We thank you for a time of our brother, Aiden, this morning. Lord, we pray for him. We pray for the time of this today as a special time in his heart and his life as he decides, Lord, to follow you, continue to follow you. And he's telling the world today that I'm a Christian, and we thank you for him. Now, Lord, as we go forward, Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we go forward in this service, Lord. And, Lord, we're going to be very, very careful, Lord, to say that you did it all. And these blessings are asked in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all. We're going to sing a little hymn, a little chorus this morning. God is so good. How many believe that God is good? I don't think anybody in the room has any problem in saying that God is good. Let's all stand together and sing, God is so good. Everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
To remind our members and sort of inform those of you who are visiting with us, for the last basically 2 months, we've been looking at the scriptures about characteristics of the New Testament church. What are the things about the New Testament church that stand out? And we also asked the question, how New Testament are we? If somebody from the Book of Acts church were to show up on a Sunday morning at our church, would they think, I fit right in? Or would they think, what are these people doing? And we looked at the church, New Testament church is based on the Word of God. It was bathed in prayer. It emphasized the cross. It was powered by the Holy Spirit. It was very sure of the resurrection. And they were a people that shared their faith. We've looked at all of those different aspects of the New Testament church. And some of them, I think Barbage Grove is pretty New Testament. Some of them, we're not that close. But we'll just have to let the Holy Spirit do the conviction about that. But today, the one we want to look at is, we're right on the money. New Testament church emphasize baptism. Now let me say, before we look at the scripture, let me make a couple of comments. One, baptism will not save you. If you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, baptism makes no difference. Only a personal relationship where you accept Jesus Christ as the payment for your sin, believe that he died, buried, resurrected, and is coming again, and you commit your life to him, gets you into heaven. Now, I could take you up here into the baptistry, and I can baptize you and baptize you and baptize you until my arms are tired and you're soaking wet. But if you don't know Jesus, you're just wet. But if you know Jesus, it makes all the difference in the world. And baptism is to follow our commitment to Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Now, the second thing about baptism that is that New Testament baptism was by immersion. I was reading this week, or not this week, but sometime in the last month, a man that is a tremendous scholar of the New Testament Greek language. Everything he writes, he says, now this particular word in verse so-and-so, in the Greek it says this and this, and it means this and this and this, over and over again. And he says the word, the root Greek word that has to do with baptism goes back to dyeing cloth. Now, some of you older folks will remember the RIT, R-I-T, dyes that you could go to the store and buy. If I wanted to change Ted's white shirt to a Carolina blue, I'd get the proper dye, put it in a tub of water, and I'd put that shirt in there and get me a broom handle or something and stir it around in there and twist it around and make sure that that shirt was totally underwater and totally saturated with that new color. That's the Greek word for baptism. I had to laugh to myself when I was thinking about that. You know, maybe a few people over the last 60 years that I baptized, I ought to held them under a little longer and stirred them around a little more, and maybe it would have caught a little better, and they'd have lived a more godly life. Now let's look at some scriptures. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 3. Let's see what Jesus did and what he said about baptism. Matthew chapter 3. At the end of that chapter, beginning at verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering and said unto him, suffer to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending up like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus set us an example. And you notice it says he came up out of the water. He was down in the Jordan River. Now how deep it was there, I have no clue. Might depend on the season of the year, how much rain they'd had, but Jesus set us an example. Then I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, the fourth chapter. And there's something there that I just have a tendency to forget until I'm reading through there. John, the fourth chapter. Verses 1 and 2. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples. Do you forget that Jesus' disciples baptized people? Oftentimes we don't think about that. Now it says Jesus didn't do the baptizing, but his disciples did. So you think about the multitudes of people that followed Jesus, the multitudes of people that believed in him. And you know that there were the 12, and then they sent out the 70, and then there were hundreds more. Evidently, many of those were baptized by the disciples of Jesus. So, and it says he baptized more people than John the Baptist did. So that's an amazing statistic that John the Baptist, you know, multitudes of people that he baptized, but he says Jesus baptized even more. Now, go with me back to Matthew chapter 28. And verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The last instructions Jesus gave his disciples, you go out, you share the good news of salvation and eternal life, and when people believe, you baptize them. And then you continue to teach them so they will grow and become disciples, and they can go out and win people to the Lord Jesus Christ and do the baptism. So it was a command. It wasn't a, might be a good idea, folks, if you do this, or if you ought to do this, or if you choose to do this. He said, you go. You make disciples, and you baptize, and then you teach. Well, how did that work out in the New Testament church? Turn to the book of Acts, second chapter. Did they obey? You know they did. Acts chapter 2. You remember the day of Pentecost? Holy Spirit descended. The folks were speaking in tongues out in the streets, witnessing to the multitude of folks. Peter preached, 3,000 folks became believers. And verse 37 said, after Peter had preached, now when they had heard this about Jesus, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Notice it wasn't coerced. It says they gladly received Jesus, and 3,000 of them were baptized. Notice when they cried out to Peter, what are we supposed to do? Believe in Jesus, be baptized. And it says they were. Now, you think 12 disciples, 3,000 people, that works out, what, 250 each? That takes some doing. And I don't know where all, I know in Jerusalem you had the Pool of Siloam and you had the Pool of Bethsaida and some other places like that. So I don't know whether Peter said, I'll take this 250. And John said, well, I'll take this 250. And they went over, or how they did it. But before the day was over, they'd baptized 3,000 people. I have a pastor friend, pastors up in the mountains where I was, that he was went with a group of pastors to South Korea. And after a couple of weeks of evangelistic crusades, they baptized on a Sunday afternoon. And I said, he said, I think he baptized 300 or 400 people. And he wasn't the only one baptizing. There were multiple people doing baptisms. You know, I'm glad he's younger than me, because that would take quite a work. But the New Testament church baptized. Go with me over the book of Acts, chapter 8. You remember Philip, one of the first deacons, had gone to Samaria and preached the word of God. People were saved and baptized. And then one day the Holy Spirit said to Philip, You go down to the road to Gaza. So Philip obeys. He sees a chariot from Ethiopia with an Ethiopian in it, a man of great authority. He comes up to the chariot, and the man's reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip says to him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He said, "Nope, I don't understand it." And he's reading in Isaiah about verse 32. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened not his mouth. And a couple of other verses, then verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached to him Jesus. This man was reading Isaiah about the sacrifice, and he didn't understand it. Philip says, "Let me explain it to you." And he explained to him about Jesus. And the interesting thing is, at some point, he must have brought up being baptized. Because when you look at verse 36, and they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. It's interesting. He didn't stop with teaching him the plan of salvation or how to accept Jesus. He explained to him, "You know, buddy, you need to be baptized." And when they came to and I don't know whether it was the Mediterranean Sea or some pond or lake or whatever they came to, but when they came to some water that had enough water in it to be baptized, he said, "Can I be baptized?" And he said, "You sure can." So they stopped the chariot. They went down into the water. Philip baptized him. He just didn't let him go on to Ethiopia unbaptized. He baptized him. I remember when I was at Prospect, the pastor at Highland had some folks that came in here from Russia, I think it was, and he baptized them so that they could, because they were on the way back to Russia, and he baptized them like on a Tuesday or a Wednesday or something so that they would go back as baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, turn over to Acts 16. You remember that story? Paul and Silas, they're preaching the word of God. They get arrested. They get a beating. A terrible whipping. They're thrown into the innermost prison. At midnight, they're singing praises to God. The prison is hit by an earthquake. The doors are open. The jailer comes down. He's about to kill himself because he knows he's responsible for all these prisoners. Paul says, "Hey, buddy, it's okay. We didn't go anywhere." And in verse 29, Acts 16, verse 29, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved in thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." He took care of their needs where they'd been beaten so severely. But as they talked Jesus to him, he and his family were baptized. Now again, I don't know where they found water at midnight, whether the guy had a big bathtub or a private swimming pool or what, but they were baptized. You see the pattern. Jesus was baptized. His disciples baptized. He told us to do it. And the New Testament church was right in there. From the day of Pentecost to Philip to Paul and Silas, it was all the same. Now, what does baptism really depict? Turn with me to Romans 6. Romans 6. And let's read the first six verses of chapter 6 of Romans. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He pictures Jesus' life, crucifixion, death, resurrection. And he says that when we're baptized, it's the same symbol. We walk into the baptistry, in a sense, life. We die to self as we're placed into the water. We're buried with him. We're buried with Jesus, Paul says. And then we're raised up to the newness of life. Because of what's happened in our hearts when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become a new person. And our life has changed. And here Paul says several things. God's given us a new life. God's given us, our sin is forgiven and cleansed. God lives within us. And God's indwelling presence in us gives us power to overcome sin. I love that last phrase. That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We won't ever be perfect this side of heaven, but our lives are to be different. Our lives are to be different when we accept Jesus Christ because of the indwelling presence. And see, your baptism depicts that. It depicts Jesus dying, buried, resurrected, living forever, and it's a symbol of our commitment to him. In a moment, when we baptize Andon, two things. We're obeying Jesus, who said, go and baptize, make disciples and baptize. And we're also following the example of the New Testament church. Wherever they went, they told the story of Jesus, and then they baptized. It's always a beautiful picture. I hope you can remember when you were baptized. I remember mine. For some reason, nobody told me to bring a towel and any clothes change, and I remember coming out soaking wet and going, getting in the car to go home. Good thing that's the old days when you had plastic seats, because it didn't hurt. But I remember that. It's only been 70-some years, but I still remember it. And I pray that you remember the commitment that you made to the Jesus Christ one day when you accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And you remember when you were baptized, whether you were baptized in a church baptistry or a swimming pool or a creek. You know, my son-in-law and daughter, missionaries to Australia, and somebody had given them some cattle tank type things that they were going to use for a baptistry in their little church. Only they didn't tell them it had a bunch of holes in it. And so they couldn't use them. And so they were going to a creek, a river, and they had a big rain event, and they said they had a time pushing debris out of the way to get and limbs and stuff to even get into the water to baptize. But they did what was necessary to follow the example of Jesus. Now let me ask you personally, do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior? The greatest decision you'll ever make, whether you make it at 8 or 7 or 18 or 80 or 90, is the decision to say, I believe in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you're here this morning, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or maybe even as I've preached, you have a burden for somebody else, and you want to come to the altar and pray for them, would you come?
I decided to follow Jesus. You may be seated. We'll sing the song. I will sing the wondrous story. Certainly this is a wondrous thing that's going on today. And we'll sing this song together, and we'll sing until the pastor makes an appearance there. And I won't know that. Maybe you'll know it before I do. Kathy, you give me a... We'll see when he does that. But anyway, let's sing together. I will sing the wondrous story. You may stay seated.
Story of the cross. had five verses, so it's okay.
Okay, good. For over 2,000 years, believers in Jesus been baptized in all sorts of places. A sign, I'm giving my heart and life to the Lord. It's a very special day in the life of the individual being baptized. It's a special day in the life of the family. It's a special day in the life of the church. The Bible says that there's joy in heaven, rejoicing in heaven, when somebody accepts Jesus. That means there's a party going on. We ought to be excited. We ought to be excited that there's a party going on because a young man gave his heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Love Jesus.
Yes.
You want to follow him all the days of your life. And you've invited him into your heart and life to be your Lord and Savior. Because you profess your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I come now to baptize you, and I can call you my brother, Andon, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Stand for our benediction. Now may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you, the Lord be gracious unto you, and give you joy, peace, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.